If we could have the reading up for this morning, please. Right. So Pastor Tracy has been taking us through the book of Revelation, and she explains that the book of Revelation was written for different churches across the areas where Jesus' life happened, kind of around the area of Palestine, moving up towards Greece and Syria and that kind of area. And the reading today is from 1 Thessalonians, which was an area in Greece, Thessalonica. And so it's a similar kind of letter, but written by Paul rather than by the author of Revelation. So here we go. I really don't need to write to you about how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying, all is well, everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall upon them, as suddenly as a woman's birth pains begin when her child is about to be born, and there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and to the night. So, be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be sober. Night is the time for sleep and the time when people get drunk. But let us who live in the light think clearly, protected by the body armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of salvation. For God decided to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. He died for us so that we can live with him forever, whether we are dead or alive at the time of his return. So, encourage each other, build each other up, just as you are already doing. There we go. Thank you. So, we've been talking about the end of the world. That's what the book of Revelation is about. The end of the world. We've had images of horsemen bringing plagues, and we've heard of angels with wings and eyes and scary things. And we've looked at cities and the world being destroyed and all of these disasters happening. Now, scholarship calls this type of images apocalyptic literature. Apocalyptic, that's a big fancy scary word, isn't it? The end of the world. Some people think of zombies or scary things like that, but there's no zombies in the Bible, you'll be glad to know. But historians have recognized when they've been reading these texts where they were actually written from. And it seems to appear that every time they talk about the end of the world, they talk about these big dramatic things. It always happens when the people are in a time of crisis in the present. It always happens when they're going through some kind of suffering. So you know images of when the Bible talks about a big banquet at the end, where there'll be food for everyone and we'll all gather together. Well, during those times, the people were hungry. The people were scattered. The people were alone. And so in the prophets talking about this image of them gathering together at a banquet would fill them with hope, would fill them with hope. It kind of gave them this energy that, you know, things will be better again. God will not abandon us. And then sometimes you hear images of this big city, this new Jerusalem, where the streets are paved with gold and the buildings are built out of emeralds and jewels and all of these things. Well, during the time when they were writing these things, the people had just had all their wealth squandered. They just had people come and taken away all of their riches and left with nothing. They were left with nothing. In Revelation, we have more images of the world being destroyed. Oceans coming and ruining everything. Big storms coming and everything being destroyed. Well, that's because during the New Testament, when those were written, They weren't just an isolated people wandering through the desert, fighting against other tribes like they were in the Old Testament. They were now under the rule of the big, bad rulers and kings of the Roman Empire, who were spreading out and trying to take over the world. What could stop them? What could stop them? Surely the little Christian community of normal people like us couldn't stop a big ruling empire like that. And so they reminded each other of the power of God. God is not only in control of the matters of human life, but also of the sea and the wind and the earth and the stone and the tectonic plates and the center of the earth and the magma and the skies, all of it. God is so much bigger. He transcends all of these things. And so, in this passage today, Paul talks about the people in Thessalonica, and he tells them that they're children of light. He tells them that they're not of darkness. He's trying to encourage them in hope. And for these people in Thessalonica, I ask them a question. Well, what was the darkness for them? What were they struggling with? Were they hungry? Were they poor? Were they under the powers of an oppressive force like the Roman Empire? To some extent, some of these, yes, but that wasn't the main concern. In the chapter beforehand, Paul talks about them not worrying about what happens at the end. You see, when a lot of the Christians in Thessalonica became Christians, when they converted, that meant that they stopped taking part in a lot of the activities that the rest of society were doing, sacrificing to idols, going to temples, and doing inappropriate things. And people didn't like it. They didn't like that they didn't fit in. They didn't like that these people stopped giving money to these temples, to these idols, to these false gods. And so they went around and they started killing them. The Christians in Thessalonica were being martyred. They were being killed for their faith. And those who were left behind, they were worried. They'd heard all of this good news about Jesus. They heard that Jesus was coming back to save the world. Remember, the Messiah was the one who was promised to come and defeat the powers of the world. At this time, that meant the Roman Empire. They thought that Jesus was going to come and defeat the Roman Empire. But if these people were dead, they were going to miss out. They weren't going to see Jesus coming back. That's what these people were stressed about. And so Paul talks about in this beautiful passage about how when Jesus returns, we'll go up to meet him in the sky and welcome him back to earth. But he won't be there alone. All of the people who have died, who have gone before, all of these Christians who died at the hands of these evil people, they would already be with Christ. They're already there. And that's why it talks about at the end of the chapter, at the end of the reading today, it says whether we're asleep or awake, whether they're dead or whether they're alive, they will be there at his return. And I just thought that was just such a wonderful message. But I don't know about anyone else, but that's not necessarily something I'm stressed about. I'm not necessarily worried that those who have died won't see Jesus. Actually, that's something I can have confidence in. And so, what does it mean for us today to recognize the darkness? If we're children of the light, great, wonderful. But in order to be the light and recognize the light, we first have to address what the darkness is. And so, over the next couple moments, I want you to talk amongst yourselves in your groups and write down on cards as well. You can write down continually. I'd suggest talking first and then writing things down. What's the issues? What's the issues in the world today? What's stressful? What's damaging? Where do people need hope? What is the darkness? And I know sometimes it's not fun to talk about what's terrible in the world. But if we believe that God is bigger than the entire earth, if God can control the wind and the ocean and can rule the empires and can do all of these things, we should not be afraid to say how big the problems are, because God will be infinitely bigger. So take some time and discuss, either personally or in your community, what are the things that's wrong? When we look at the world, what do we say? That's not right. This isn't how God wants it to be. So go. And as we offer up these red cards to you, God, I wonder if some people, if you feel comfortable, just say out loud, name some of the things that have been put in this box, in this prayerful space. Knowing that you can hold them. And even though they're only represented by small, tiny red cards here, God, we know that they're big and they're heavy and they take their toll on us. God, we need hope. And you are the only one who can give that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Right, next, that was part one. I'm going to need helpers, an abundance of helpers. There's no limit. I shall not limit how many helpers I need. It's going to be fun. You don't have to say anything. It's just a bit of playing. We've got some jugs of water. Don't worry, you're not going to get wet. We've got some jugs of water. Don't worry, I'm not tipping them on you. Any volunteers? Oh, there we go. You can help. We've got one volunteer. Here you go. If you have this cup, there you go. And stand there for a second. Any of the volunteers? Yeah, come on. Come on up. There we go. Volunteers, lovely. I might get you with a jug. Right, we've got two jobs. Cups. Here we go. I think you should hold some cups. And here you go. Do you want a cup? Oh, no, I'll have a cup. You can have a jug. You have a jug. I'll have a cup. You can have a jug. Right. Here we're going to demonstrate what happens when we try and give ourselves hope. So, I've not worked this out yet. So those people over there can't see properly. If you come up this way a little bit, Colleen, people over there might be able to see a bit better. Right. Imagine that these cups, show your cups to everyone. Imagine these cups are us. Just cups, you know, like vessels. We're here. We're ready to be filled. We come. We need hope, right? We need hope. We need energy to deal with all of these things. We need hope to be filled. But we live in a world where there's all of these terrible things happening. We live in a world where there's loads of despair and loneliness and grief. And so, what happens when we try and fill ourselves with hope? Bring your cups. Yeah, bring your cups and hold them above the tub like this. There you go. Gorgeous. Wonderful. Now, if Colleen and Katrin would like to pour some water into our cups. Keep going. Bling. Oh no, Aiden's running out of some. I need to pour some to Aiden. I'm going to give hope to my friend. Oh, now I'm running out as well. We're dribbling. They go, oh, now you've run out of some. Because there's so many terrible things in the world, we keep getting stressed, don't we? And so the moment we get hope, we seem to lose it all over again. And it's just dribbling out. Right. Do we have more volunteers? Here you go. Another jug. No, keep going. There you go. Oh, no. Oh, Katrin's ran out of hope, she said. She's ran out of hope. Oh, you're running out of hope as well. Here you go. Bring some more hope to you. It just doesn't seem to be working. Oh, we've got more. It's another Sunday. We've got more hope. Oh, lovely. Lovely. Oh, that's not enough either. Oh. Oh. Oh, no. Ada needs some hope. There we go. Oh, you can have some hope. There you go. Giving hope to each other. Oh, and Katrin's found hope again. Life's a roller coaster, isn't it, everyone? There we go. Right. Good job, everyone. We still got a bit more. You've ran out. Colleen's ran out of hope. Colleen has ran out of hope. Oh, no. There you go. Oh, there we go. And you see, some cups run out of hope quicker than other cups. But that's okay. We all run out of hope eventually if we try and fill it ourselves. There you go. Good job. I've run out of hope now. Oh, no. What are you going to do with a preacher without hope? Oh, this is the last bit of hope. Oh, go on. Let's keep going. There you go. We're still going. See, we are resilient. We are resilient. It does seem like we can keep going, doesn't it? It does seem so. It's very easy for us to think that we can make it by ourselves. But eventually, it does always run out. It does always run dry. Oh, no. Oh, no. And we might have drowned our sorrows and the terrible things with our tears, but they're still red. They're still there. And we've not solved any of it, have we? No, we haven't. Good job, everyone. Good job. Thank you for helping. You can go and sit down for a second. There'll be more help to come later.
Let's dry their hands first.
You do feel...
That's it.
I'm glad. Oh, yeah, you can dry your hands. Here you go. Oh, the cups have fallen in with the rest of them. Well, there we go. Good job. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for giving us an example of what despair looks like. Now, I did try and think of ways of trying to demonstrate what it looks like when we rely on God's hope instead. But unfortunately, there is not enough water on this planet that can be of example as to what that looks like. With God, it's always raining. It's always raining. And I want you to remember that. When it's raining, I want you to remember that this is God trying to overflow your cup. Overflow your cup, like we heard in this song. Because the thing is, the fact that we're losing hope, the fact that our energy is going into these things, that's not a bad thing. We're humans. We're weak. Bad things happen. We need to deal with things. That's what's expected of us. This is what God expects of us. He doesn't want us to be any different. He wants us to tend to these issues. He wants us to give our energy over and over and over again to do his good work. But we can't seem to sustain it by ourselves, can we? I've tried doing it. I've tried just keep going, over and over and over again, relentlessly trying to do things out of my own strength. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so, what does the Bible do? when we're in the middle of a crisis. The Bible talks about the end. It talks about the end of times. It talks about the apocalypse. That often doesn't seem to give me hope either, the destruction of the world. But actually, what images of the end can we think of that puts these things into perspective? What visions of the end can we imagine, can we think of, that gives us energy and that gives us hope for the present? There'll be what, sorry? There will be Jesus there. We will meet Jesus, yes. The end of suffering. No sin. No water. Perhaps. Yes. So no sin. What does that look like? What are the things that we've put in here? I heard people say war. Heard people say inequality. Loneliness. Grief. The lion will lie with the lamb. What does that look like today? That doesn't seem to give much hope to the average Joe who just lives in a town. They've never met a lion, and most of them have never met a lamb, even though there's one that lives in the field next door. And so if that isn't necessarily an image of hope for lots of people, what can we say today that is an image of hope? That the conservative embraces the liberal, perhaps. That the violence will end. One of my favorite stories of hope of all time, and I'm going to cry even just trying to say it. But it's during the war, isn't it? And on that one Christmas day, when soldiers from opposite sides have a game of football. That's what the end will look like. That is what the world will look like when Jesus returns and makes things new. It will look like being able to walk through a forest without damaging any other life in the forest. It will be able to see every living thing, the worth of every living thing. Being able to hear them speak. We might be able to hear animals in heaven, who knows? For those who have really strong connection with their pets, right? Doesn't that give hope? Think of other things. What else can give us hope? It doesn't have to be in biblical language. A new baby. A new baby. Wow. Wow, yes. Animals who have gone extinct coming back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are talking, you'll meet this on our table about greed and power and influence and how that selfishness is at the root of so many problems. And all power will be in the hands of a God who is our human print of him is Jesus. Put all power in his hands and the world can't be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm. Yeah. Exactly. The one thing, the only one thing that's consistent about hope from the very beginning to the very end is Jesus. He's the one consistent thing. But Jesus is God. And Jesus in himself is wonderful and incredible. But Jesus does something. Jesus doesn't just show up. When Jesus returns, he doesn't just show up. He does something. He's active. He's moving. He takes control. Not in a way that leaves other people trapped or enslaved or hurt or damaged. No, you're right. Jesus has this power in a way that empowers other people. I think we've had this kind of very traditional understanding where sin is merely me wanting power for myself and pride and self-centeredness. But actually, we recognize all through the Bible that sin also looks different for different people. For some people, sin looks like completely neglecting myself in order to please another person. That does not glorify God. That is not glorifying of God at all. God calls us children of the light, children of the day, children, beloved, beloved children. And so, if you're not shining, if you don't know that you are beloved, then maybe we need to talk about a vision of the future where you're in a nursery and you're playing and you're making a piece of art where you don't worry about your insecurities at all, where you can shed the weight of the world, where you don't have to keep refilling your own cup, where you can just rest in the presence of God. What if we think about the end like that? For those of us who think that we can't do anything, I can't achieve anything, I can't do any change, I can't solve the problems of the world. What if we talked about a vision of the end where Jesus not only comes and makes all things new, but he asks us to join in, where he gives us the tools that we need, where like a coach in like a sports group, he brings us all in. He brings us all together. His arms, super long, he can have stretchy arms, wraps around us all. And he hypes us up. He starts slow and he starts quiet. And he names each and every one of you by name. And then we start bouncing. And someone's got a drum and someone's got music. And then all of a sudden the room just explodes with joy and you feel like you can do anything. And you can, because Jesus is there. And Jesus says so. And Jesus makes it possible. The way that we talk about the end, these visions that we have of hope, of God redeeming the world, matter. Not because they take us up into this fantasy and help us escape all of the issues of the world, no. But because it gives us the energy that we need to deal with it right now. Because Christianity is not a religion of escape. It's not a religion of neglect. It's a living faith that transforms your entire life. Your entire life. Our church, we're in the Wesleyan holiness tradition, which means that being a Christian doesn't mean just showing up to church on Sunday. It means you're a Christian when you're buying your groceries at the store. It means you're a Christian when you're on the bus. It means you're a Christian when you're driving and there's someone really, really slow and a terrible driver in front of you. Like all of these things. We know these things. We know these things. But isn't it exhausting sometimes? It's exhausting. And that's because we're trying to do this. Alternatively, what if we saw hope like corners? And the more you divide it, actually, the more you give away, the more it multiplies. How many corners have I got here? Four. Well, what if I want to give some away to a friend? There you go. How many have I got now? How many have you got? Four. Wonderful. What if you give some of that away to someone else? I wonder how far this can go. Here you go, Katrin. Here you go. If you give that, give some hope to someone. Here we go. What if we start spreading some hope? Keep cutting. Have you run out of scissors? Here we go. Here we go. Oh, you've got some. Oh, it's spreading like wildfire. It's everywhere already. Who needs some hope? I'm hearing the question being asked. And then this was not planned at all. But guess what I found? Wiggly scissors. Who wants to count how many corners there is on this piece of paper? Wonderful. Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. Good job. We're now going to hear the final part of the reading, the last bit of the chapter, the last bit of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. And I want you to just hear this as an encouragement and to think, what does this look like in my daily life this week? Dear brothers and sisters and siblings, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and warn you against all that is wrong. Think highly of them and give them your wholehearted love because of their work, and remember to live peaceably with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. Everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to be good and to be good, to do good to each other and to everyone else. Always be joyful. Keep on praying. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Keep away from every kind of evil. Now, may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until that day when your Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God, who calls you, is faithful. He will do this. Dear brothers and sisters and siblings, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters in Christian love. And I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. I don't know what it means to pray without ceasing. People have been trying to figure that out for a very long time. But I wouldn't be too worried about that. I think as long as we keep asking that question, I think we're on the right track. All of these things, it seems like a long list of things, doesn't it? But these aren't things that get us Jesus. These are things that come out of Jesus. We need that hope first. And Jesus Christ is that only hope. And all of these things, I don't know if you noticed, but you can't really do any of them by yourself. You kind of need each other for that. Just like you need each other to spread hope. What does it look like to spread stories of hope? big or small. The news doesn't necessarily do that, does it? But when we're called to be these children of light, to spread hope, once again, that doesn't mean that we neglect to pay attention to the darkness. It simply means that we name it for what it is, contrary to God's intentions for the world. This is not the way things should be. That is a statement of hope, because it suggests that there's another way to be. And so we thank God this morning that he offers us another way to be. Right, I have a little prayer now that we're going to read at the end before we sing our last song. And it's a very informal liturgy with a little call and response. When I say, "Is there hope?" what are you going to say? What? There you go. Have you snuck into my notebook? Right, let's practice it. Is there hope?
Yes.
And amen. Is there hope?
Yes.
Wonderful. I think you've got it. Let's pray. Jesus, when you came down to earth, you showed us that God is not far away. God sees the darkness, knows the dangers of the night, and understands all of our struggles. Is there hope? Yes, and amen. Jesus, you took time to get to know people. For those who are hungry, afraid, sick. Those who are disregarded or been told that they're impure. For the unwelcome and the lonely. Is there hope? Yes, and amen. Jesus, you became a part of creation to show us that this world matters to God. And so, although there is pollution and plastic and trees being cut down, although nature is struggling and species are fading away, is there hope? Yes, and amen. Jesus, although we are small, although we are weak, even though we get stressed and anxious and afraid, even though we make mistakes and we're messy and we're tired and we can't do it by ourselves, is there hope? Yes. Amen. Yes, there is hope. Because you have promised us and proven to us over and over again that you will not withhold from us the things that we need. The more faithful than the sun that rises on us each day, you will never fail. Let this fill us with hope. Let us be reminded of this with each downpour of rain and with each rising of the sun. Let this fill us with hope so that we can join in with your redeeming work everywhere you go. God, I pray that we find practices that help us soak in your love and your glory, your promises, and the affirmations that you give us. So that when we inevitably face the challenges of this world, we will not despair. But even when we do, that's okay. Because we have a community that can help to remind us, that can lift us up. And we know that even when we despair, we're still held in your hand. We're still held in your hand. Sometimes we just fail to realize it. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 Right, now we're going to sing our final song, which is Yes and Amen.